May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please be seated. Whenever I read about Our Lady in Scripture, it always creates for me a very, very strong image. She's mentioned relatively rarely, infrequently, but when she is mentioned, it's a very strong image that comes forth. Now, one of those strong images that I have in mind today comes from the Gospel reading, the Magnificat. There she is, singing God's praises, the Son of God having stirred in her womb. She's full of optimism and confidence in the power, the presence of God, and in God's purposes, that they will be worked out, not just in her, not just what she is called to do and to be, but throughout the ages and throughout the world. She's full of joy. It's a good day. But another strong image of the Virgin Mary that I have in my mind today, to balance this, is the Mary of John's Gospel. At the cross, seeing her son crucified, witnessing his agony and pain, and the trauma that must have been in her heart and mind and body that day. It is tragic for any mother to witness the death of a child, but there's something more going on here. For in the Magnificat, we see that she is full of confidence and optimism about the purposes of God. And she knew that the purposes of God will be worked out in the very person of her own son. And here he is, suffering and dying on a cross. The temptation, therefore, must have been strong to despair. The natural human despair of the death and suffering of one's own child, for goodness sake, but also, what's happened to the promises of God? That was a very bad day. There's another strong image from Scripture in my mind today of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I don't know if you've read it. It's in the opening chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. She doesn't take a central role. It just mentions that after Jesus' death and resurrection, and after his ascension into heaven, and before the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the believers, such as they were, and they were few at that time, are gathered in an upper room in worship. And it just simply mentions that Mary, the mother of the Lord, was there. For me, this very bland, ordinary statement is a very strong image. Because what it says to me is that she has worked through all her optimism and confidence and the upness of becoming the mother of God. She's worked through all the lowness and the downness and the trauma of his death. And here she is, having gone beyond her own particular calling and purpose, having fulfilled all of that, she's simply among the believers as one of them, worshipping as they do. Week by week, a worshipper. This was an ordinary day. And there she remains. She has made that transition from being the special focus of attention and being the mother of the Lord to being a disciple of him. Also, being there, present, worshipping in the name of Jesus. No longer her son alone, but now the Redeemer of the world, the risen Christ. She remained faithful through those good times and those bad times. I've noticed through now many years of pastoral ministry that there are all kinds of things that can take people away from faith in God. I don't mean really, really damage their faith necessarily, that can happen, but just to drift away from worship and being a disciple of Jesus. And some of those things are actually really, really good things. The birth of a child, perhaps. It's a busy time being a mum. There's lots of demands on your time. It saps your energy. It's really, really easy to let your discipleship drift. Getting married. Who can say that that's not good? Joy of the wedding day and all of that goes into the preparation of the marriage. And yet that can also be a time when you're so focused on your relationship that you let your faith drift, let God drift. All kinds of other stuff too. Jobs. Jobs are a good thing. It's good to have fulfilling work, isn't it? But that can also get in the way of following Christ. All kinds of good things. Imagine winning the lottery might be one of those things too. That would be all right, wouldn't it? I wonder what that would do to our daily walk with Jesus. Good times can take you away from God. Didn't do that with Mary. Mary stayed focused on the Lord right the way through the good times. Bad things too can take you away from God. The trauma of illness and of bereavement has taken many people away from God. How can God be there? How can God be loving if this suffering he allows? Yeah, that wasn't Mary's response either. She stayed steady right the way through all the suffering that happened. And it happened bit by bit through his ministry. Those last 3 years were difficult years. There's some other strong images of Mary where she's extremely worried for his safety and reputation. And then there's the cross. It does not deflect her in the least. And maybe it hasn't deflected you either, because here you are today. You'll have gone through really good times in your life. Maybe you'll have been distracted for a while. And here you are. You'd have gone through some difficult times too. I know that for sure. Some I know because I know you. Some I don't, but who hasn't, right? You'll have gone through difficult, traumatic times, and yet here you are. And I'm hoping that that's because you sense and know that the God who is the source of your life holds you through the good times and the bad, as Mary knew. And may we learn her lesson day by day, not allowing those fresh temptations to distract us from being in that daily presence of God and knowing his source of life within us, to take our place and remain in the fellowship of Christ's church. I came across this poem that you've all got, you should have anyway, in front of you. I came across this poem just the other day in my own daily reading. It's by Howard Thurman, who was an inspirational spiritual leader in the middle of the 20th century in America. And he bases his poem on one verse from Psalm 139, which says, it's at the top of your page there, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." And of course, it's in two parts. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. When my joy overflows and no words can contain it. When the thing I sought was lost, only to reappear within the hollow of my hand. When the day seems interminable, but at eventide the burdens lift and weariness is a far-off memory. When there opens before the vista of the mind the wonder of new regions, far-off places. when the gentle touch of a loved one makes music heard only by the listening heart. When the doctor's word is the final word, and deep within the hidden places of the life, healing waters stir, bringing wholeness in their wake. When the wanderer comes home, and the wayward finds peace in the ancient fireside. When from the ashes of old dreams, the fires of new life are kindled. Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, when the night remains night and darkness deepens, when the evilness of evil is unrelieved and utter desolation makes mockery of all that was good and true, when the open door of refuge closes in my face and to turn back is of no avail, when the firm grip of sanity trembles and all balances tilt, leaving the mind tortured and crazed, when all around worlds crash and the winds blow hot and torrid over the parched and wasted places of my spirit, when sin multiplies itself until at last all goodness seems swallowed up and devoured, when the chuckle of death is the only sound to be heard in the land, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, if I ascend up into heaven, behold, thou art there. Amen.